2781 21st Street in the Deep Mission at 21st in Florida. Contact Pam at pamsadai@hotmail.com for more options and booking dates. Incredible socialist prices so you can be creative in a free speech space without breaking the bank. That's Mutiny Radio Rentals every Thursday, Saturday, and Sunday from 8 to 10. Book your event now.
Trying to hurt me, but boy, how it burns me whenever she touched me. And oh, I feel so lucky. Oh.
Well, hey there, San Francisco. If you're looking for some delicious late-night food, I suggest you mosey on down to Bender's Bar. Inside, you can find Counter Offer, offering you amazing late-night food and snacks. Try the chicken biscuit. It's like your stomach's in a tasty tornado. They have exceptionally great daily ground sustainable burgers with sides of tater tots, grilled asparagus, and delicious zucchini and creamy-licious mac and cheese. You like tacos? They got them. And from the specials, very deep fried fish sandwich to a stoner burger with a donut bun. What are those crazy potheads gonna come up with next? Go to the Counter Offer inside of Blender's Bar at 800 South Van Ness Avenue, San Francisco. It's located between 19th Street and 20th Street in the Mission District. Open 7 nights a week from 5 to 10 p.m. or later. Counter Offer, son!
This is dog's
Subliminal SF brings you visual and auditory mind control. For the best graphic design, physical merchandise, and live music promotion, go to www.subliminalsf.com and check out their hilarious t-shirts and super cool bands at clubs and bars all over the Bay Area. Subliminal SF creates amazing flyers, posters, and design for every need. So go now to www.subliminalsf.com and experience what this wonderful local business has to offer. Run!
Oh, happy hour. What could be happier than 23 comics doing jokes for each other and at a radio listening audience? Puppets, kittens, unicorns, porn maybe? Oh, well, Stage Time makes them happy, and this super happy comedy open mic is open every Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. But you can also listen anytime by downloading the podcast at Mutiny Radio FM Index at
podcasts.pcrcollective.org.
So come live or listen later or to every happy hour mic Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. at Radio FL Mutiny Radio. I just fucked that up again. What the fuck is wrong with me?
Yeah, yeah.
You got it. I got it.
Billy Bob, you ever want to be funny?
Well, my dogs think I'm funny, Daryl.
Well, I mean, you ever want to be, like, in front of an audience? Like, other than, like, squirrels, dogs, and dead persons?
Oh, shit. From time to time, I've given it a thought or two.
You know, if you go to Joke Workshop, there's more than two peoples paying attention to your jokes, and they ain't even gonna be jerks about it.
Daryl, are you serious? I can get people to listen to my jokes.
And they'll even say nice things to you before they tell you how to get improvements.
No way. What is this dang nabbit thing called?
It's Joke Workshop.
Joke Workshop?
Yep, every Monday, 6 to 8 p.m. on the Mutant Radius.
So you're saying I could tell my jokes every Monday from 6 to 8?
That's what I'm saying. It's the Joke Workshop Mondays, 6 to 8 p.m. at the Mutant Radius. Yahoo!
Hey,
Hello, comrades. This is your comrade, Zach Wiseman, host of government-sponsored program Communist Folding Chairs, mandated by the Kremlin to occur every Monday, 2 to 4 p.m., broadcast by our comrades at mutinyradio.fm. Sit, relax, listen to my comrades in stand-up comedy march honorably through their cold, balanced sets, and other comrades make fun of them. Because in Mother Russia, if you can't laugh about starving for turnip and beet and attention, you are a capitalist pig, and the KGB will visit you shortly. Every Monday, 2 to 4 p.m.
Right. And then to Tillery.
You might slip, you might slide, you might stumble and fall by the roadside, but don't you ever let nobody drag your spirit down. Yeah, we're walking up to heaven, my brother. Don't let nobody turn you around. Each other, that's what love is for. Don't you let
nobody drag your spirit down.
Tie your spirit down.
Let nobody drag your spirit down.
Walk on up to heaven. Don't let nobody tie
let
your spirit down.
Don't you let nobody drag your spirit down.
Don't you let
nobody.
Good morning to you. That was the introduction. First song played. Here's another one. You gotta serve somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict dancing on the stage. Money, drugs at your command. Women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Young Turk, maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor, you may be blind or lame, maybe living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Maybe a construction worker working on a home. Might be living in a mansion, you might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord, you may even own banks, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a preacher, spiritual pride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. And maybe somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk, might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, you may call me Terry, or you may call me Timmy. You may call me Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy. You may call me RJ, you may call me Ray. You may call me anything, no matter what you say.
Serve somebody.
Yes, you're gonna have.
but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Yes, you do. You got to serve somebody. That, of course, was Bob Dylan, and we seated Bob Dylan with Linda Tillery and the Cultural Heritage Orchestra. Don't let nobody turn your spirit down. This is Labor and Love, Mutiny Radio. From 10 to 12 every Saturday morning, we broadcast live, and our shows are archived at mutinyradio.podcast.com or some such thing. Yes. So, this is Labor and Labor magazine, where we tell you how it is. We say that if one person gets a dollar they didn't work for, another person worked for a dollar they didn't get. Yeah, we tell you. We tell you, if you don't have a seat at the table, at the negotiating table where you work, you're probably on the menu. You can bet on that. Three, never let anyone into your heart who is not a friend of labor. And when I say labor, I mean you. Labor history is your history. Okay, let's continue on here with some music. One of the topical songs by Prince, who we lost just last week. Prince. Well, let's listen to a little piano music here while Prince is getting ready. Now, this is called Baltimore. Breaking and accelerating so he would fall and tumble against the walls inside the paddy wagon.
Does anybody hear us pray for Michael Brown or Freddie Gray? Peace is more than the absence of war. Enough is enough. It's time.
programming to bring you up to date on a developing situation in Los Angeles.
Okay, so that was Prince, that last song we heard. That was Prince and his anthem to the victims of police brutality in Baltimore. And a very kind of optimistic end to it there, that yes, we all can get together and have a just world without hurting one another, something like that. Prince wrote that kind of stuff. We played one of his last week about a similar theme. Have to check that out. We might have that on today. Okay, so this is Labor and Love. And welcome. The show where we tell you how it is. We've got a little bit of everything here today. We've got the worst disaster, factory disaster, in many years. We've got working class history. Where is Wernicke? We've got the cowboy strike in 1883. Did you say cowboy? Yes. Cowboys went on strike. We got our regular features, Radio Labor and Labor Notes. And we got a whole lot more. We got an interview with our campus correspondent. She'll be on a little bit later. Okay, let's see here. This is 2 days before May Day. May the 1st, International Workers' Day. One day, actually. International Workers' Day. And I heard an interesting talk by a guy who talked about not only the red, the revolutionary implications of May Day, but also the green ones. So that May Day was celebrated in 1627 or something by some renegade Puritans who danced around the maypole. It was a time of regeneration, you know. Spring is back. We made it through the winter. And they danced around the maypole with Native Americans, with escaped slaves, all these people together, Indians. Yeah, Native Americans. So this was the maypole of Marymount, and of course the mainstream Puritans couldn't hear of this, couldn't hear about people dancing around outside and having a great old time celebrating the earth. So they went over and shut it down. This was the devil's work as far as they were concerned. And of course, May 1st is celebrated because it's the anniversary of a an incident that very clearly defines a lot of things that were going on at that time. May 4th, a group of people got together around the 8-hour day, and there was a talk, and someone threw a bomb. The place was very tightly policed. Someone threw a bomb. Police arrested hundreds of people, beat them. Eventually, 8 people were accused of the crime. 1 policeman was killed by the bomb. 8 people, the Chicago 8, the original Chicago 8, and among them was Albert Parsons, husband of Lucy Parsons, one of the great radical agitators of her day. And these people, 4 of them were executed. 4 were pardoned by Governor John Altgeld, a socialist governor of Illinois. But all around the earth now, May the 1st celebrates that Haymarket demonstration, the demand for an 8-hour day. So we have 2 streams. We have 2 things to celebrate. We have an ancient, it goes back beyond the Puritans, an ancient celebration, celebrating the return of spring, and celebration of the uprisings of working people all over the world, a day that working people all over the world claim for their own and celebrate. So have a happy May Day. Have a happy May Day, and remember what you're celebrating. The campaigns of working people all over the world to better their lives. The spirit of resistance. Okay. We have we played Prince. Now we've got our regular Workers Independent News broadcast with all the happenings during the week on the national level.
Workers Independent News Week in Review. I'm Doug Cunningham. At least 45,000 workers have won class action lawsuit rights in a National Labor Relations Board case against Menards, the Midwest-based home improvement supply store chain owned by Wisconsin anti-union billionaire John Menard, is settling the case with the NLRB rather than trying to fight the charges that his company is violating labor law. OPEIU Local 153 attorney Seth Goldstein filed the charges along with attorney Marissa McDermott. Goldstein says this is a big victory for workers.
John Menard, arch critic of Obama, has now endorsed the position of the National Labor Relations Act. I think that the employers are going to fear the Menard settlement because now a major company has acknowledged that class action waivers violate the National Labor Relations Act.
Verizon has given approximately 39,000 striking workers what it says is its best and final contract offer. CWA and IBEW negotiators are not pleased or impressed because in the offer, Verizon didn't move very far from its original position on concessions. Verizon makes an average of $1.8 billion a month profit. The Warehouse Workers Resource Center says it expects mass firings of hundreds of workers who have been active demanding better wages and working conditions at CalCartage. The firings are expected April 30th at the warehouse serving the Port of Los Angeles. Hundreds of workers are facing the mass retaliation for trying to organize and use their labor rights. The Warehouse Workers Resource Center says this is unacceptable and they believe it's illegal. An online petition has been launched telling the Port of Los Angeles that the firings are unjust and demanding that CalCartage retain all the workers who are facing termination. determination. The Teamsters' Rome Alois says the proposed $100 million class action settlement that drivers made with Uber isn't the end of driver efforts to organize for justice on the job with the multi-billion dollar app-based taxi service. Uber controls the conditions of work for the drivers but classifies them as independent contractors.
Misclassification is a giant problem in this country and remains to be seen how that works within this context of the Uber-type company.
Lois says the Teamsters are in it for the long haul, finding ways to organize Uber and Lyft drivers, as well as port truckers who are also misclassified. UPS pilots supported their German brothers and sisters this week by honoring picket lines at the Cologne airport during a 24-hour strike. Independent Pilot Association spokesman Brian Godet.
Anytime there's a legal picket line against UPS and we're in a position to support that other union, we choose to. Cologne is our largest hub in Germany, and the German workers there are fantastic and do a great job of taking care of our pilots. We're not going to cross those lines. We're going to honor those lines.
Workers Independent News provided by Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham.
Okay, Workers Independent News there. Some news about the Verizon strike that continues on. Very positive. Signing Menard, it's a big building supply house. Sort of like Home Depot or something like that. All right, now Radio Labor will tell us about things that are going on in all corners of the earth, because you know you're not alone unless you don't stand up. And if you don't stand up, you'll be counted as standing up for sitting down. Radio Labor.
It's on Radio Labor.
This is a Radio Labor World Report recorded on Friday, April 29th, 2016. I'm Mark Belanger. In the report this week, unions in the UK fight against Britain's exit from the European Union. A new labor law in Cambodia will make conditions even worse for the country's unions and workers. Thousands of unionists celebrated International Health and Safety Day, and the Labor Start report about union events around the world. This is Radio Labor. Thursday, April 28th was the International Day to remember workers who have died on the job and remind the world why the fight for better health and safety standards is crucial. One of the most horrible on-the-job industrial accidents took place 3 years ago when a garment factory building in the Rana Plaza in Bangladesh collapsed. 1,200 workers, mainly young women, were killed. Some 2,500 were wounded. After the disaster, the international labor movement forced clothing brands to support a program called the Accord on Fire and Building Safety to improve the state of garment factories in the country. I talked to Jenny Holdcroft, the policy director of the Global Union Federation Industriale. I reached her just after she participated in a demonstration in Dhaka, the capital of Bangladesh, which called for more government action. I asked her what Industriale and the unions in the country want the government to do.
Well, what we really want to do is the government to take over its proper regulatory role. The collapse of the Rana Plaza building and all the deaths that resulted in the injuries pointed to a lack of governance, and that's why the Bangladesh Accord was formed, so that immediate action could be taken by the brands and retailers and the global unions to ensure that the factories were made safe. The accord has made a great many gains in the 3 years. There's still a lot more work to be done. But meanwhile, we're not seeing that the government is really ready to take over that regulatory role. So it really needs to get its act together to understand what is needed in order to get to the factories to remediate. We have to bear in mind that the accord covers some 1,600 factories, but so does the government, which that covers the factories that fall outside the purview of both the alliance and the accord, and we're not seeing the level of progress there. Those factories are not yet being remediated and so remain unsafe.
Some activists have called for a boycott of Bangladeshi goods in order to force improvement of the wages and working conditions of especially the garment workers in the country. What does Industrial think of this tactic? Does it support a boycott of goods from Bangladesh?
No, absolutely we don't. And I don't really see the relationship between stopping buying goods from Bangladesh and improving working conditions. All a boycott will do is make the Bangladeshi garment workers suffer anymore, because what they need is jobs. They need decent jobs where they can be safe and where they can have the right to organize a union. But if you take away those jobs completely, you're not doing anything to improve their lives.
Cambodia has one of the nastiest labor records in the world, and now things are about to get even worse. Radio Labor's senior correspondent C. Marie Ainsborough reports.
With the support of international labor organizations, workers in Cambodia are protesting a new labor law. The law was pushed through the National Assembly by the government. Despite objections by the UN's International Labor Organization, the ILO, the country's unions, and global labor federations such as Industrial. Even a number of multinational garment brands have said they oppose the law. The newly adopted legislation imposes new limits on the right to strike, allows government intervention into internal union affairs, and permits employers to apply for the dissolution of unions. Cambodia has more than 1,200 garment factories, producing about $6 billion in exports. The factories produce clothes for companies such as Gap and Nike. Women make up most of the country's 700,000 garment labor force. They earn a minimum wage of $4.50 a day. That works out to about 12 cents a t-shirt. The new law has been condemned by the International Trade Union Confederation. The ITUC is the body which represents national union centers at the world level. ITUC General Secretary Sharon Burrell told the media that the government has backed the Anti-Union Employers Federation at every step. It has continually pushed back against decent working conditions and wages. The government and police violence against those fighting for the respect of international workers' rights must end, she said. This is C. Marie Ainsborough reporting for Radio Labor.
With the result too close to call, electors in the UK are headed to a June 23rd referendum on continued membership in the European Union. Most of the largest unions in the country, plus the National Trades Union Congress, are campaigning in support of staying in the EU. Supporters of what has been dubbed Brexit, Britain's exit, say that the EU has been pushing government austerity programs, which have caused much damage. Frances O'Grady is the General Secretary of the Trades Union Congress, the TUC. She spoke recently to a convention of the National Union of Students about Britain, the EU, and the June 23rd referendum.
We believe that a Brexit would pose a real threat to workers' jobs, our livelihoods, and our rights. Many of the rights that we take for granted, from equal rights for part-time workers to stronger protection against discrimination, and of course, paid holidays, these have been won because unions banded together across borders, and we won it through the EU, and it's now guaranteed by the EU. Rights that working students rely on and that union agreements build on. Now, I know there are different views about the referendum, and I respect that, and I share the view that the EU is far from perfect, but believe that we can only win change from within. If politicians really want to tackle the problems that workers and students face, then it's simple. Stop the cuts and start investing. Get tough on bad bosses and rip off landlords. And instead of kowtowing to big corporations and the banks, stand up for the interests of workers, students and citizens, for a fairer, greener Europe with great jobs and homes at its heart. There is nothing inevitable about the world that we face now. There is nothing inevitable or natural about inequality. The status quo is not the only option. Another Europe, another world is possible.
Now here with his report about union events around the world is Labour Star correspondent Derek Blackadder.
Here's a small sample of the more than 2,200 stories our volunteers collected last week. Our top story section included links to news about the huge wave of trade union militancy being led by women in India and a report that concluded that a workplace death happens every 15 seconds somewhere in the world. We had news of strikes and lockouts in dozens of countries. Here are just a few highlights. Striking municipal workers in South Africa blocked roads to back their demand for safety equipment and a wage increase owed to them since 2011. Bangladesh's ferry system came to a halt as river transport workers protested a lack of progress in bargaining. Junior doctors were off the job in the United Kingdom for 2 days over threats to impose punishing hours of work and cuts to the healthcare system. Nigerian state workers resumed their strike in an effort to obtain the 5 months of wages that are owed to them. Bank workers in Argentina won a huge victory as their strike ended with a 33% wage increase. Hospitality workers in Norway stopped work to back their demand for a change to the structure of bargaining for their industry. Long-distance truck drivers formed blockades in Kenya to protest a lack of security and attacks on them by robbers. As a result, hundreds of motorists were stuck on major highways overnight. And a one-day wage strike by German air transport workers caused the cancellation of over 1,000 flights last week. Our top working women stories included coverage of a huge pay equity award for Canadian library workers, the ways in which public sector cuts in Australia hurt women more than men, and the efforts unions are making to protect African domestic workers migrating to the Gulf. Our health and safety newswire carried stories to hundreds of union websites around the world about the Nigerian Truckers Union, which is accusing customs officials of extrajudicial killings, workers' Memorial Day ceremonies around the world, and events marking the anniversary of the Rana Plaza factory disaster in Bangladesh. Currently, LaborStart is running 7 online actions. Take just a few seconds out of your day and join thousands of trade unionists around the world in helping workers make their lives better, or even help save those lives. This is Derek Blackadder from LaborStart, reporting for Radio Labor.
Thank you for listening. And remember, it's all about global solidarity.
you just get on board. All you need is faith to hear the diesel's humming. You don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord.
Thank you. Nobody gives us a rhyme or reason. Have a one doubt, they call it treason. We're chicken feathers all the way out. Sunday sleeping, not trying to duck the wrath of God. Preachers filling us with fright. They all trying to teach us what they think is right. They really got to be some kind of nut. I can't use it. I'm trying to make it real compared to what other God, and where's my money? Unreal values, a crass distortion. Unwed mothers need abortion. Kind of brings to my old young King Tut. He did it now, trying to make it real compared to what.
Nothing if you have no rights. Let grace Come greet the dawn and stand beside.